Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla conveys condolences to Ani Yudhoyono. No room for any call of referendum, the government says. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Mrs. Mufidah Yusuf Kalla expressed condolences for the death of former Indonesian First Lady for the period 2004-2014, Kristiani Herawati Yudhoyono. It was said by the Vice President's spokesman, Hussein Abdullah, to Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, June the 1st. For Vice President Kalla, the figure of Ani Yudhoyono is a tough and hard-working woman who faithfully helped her husband, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, especially during his term as president of the 2004-2009 period. In addition, she is a caring worker, especially to women and Indonesian children, to move forward. For Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Mrs. Mufidah, with the passing of Mrs. Ani Yudhoyono, Indonesia lost one of the nation's best daughters. The Indonesian people were shocked with the news of the death of the sixth Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono's wife, Kristiani Herawati, or Ani Yudhoyono, on Saturday, June the 1st, in Singapore. President Joko Widodo expressed his deepest condolences over the death of Mrs. Ani Yudhoyono. The president also invites all Indonesian people to pray the former Indonesian First Lady of Indonesia's sixth President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono.
Innalillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Innalillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Innalillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Perkenankan.
Innalillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. On behalf of the government and all Indonesian nations, I convey deepest condolences for the death of Ibu Kristiani Herawati binti Sarwo Edi Wibowo, wife of the sixth President of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, at the age of 67 years. I also invite all Indonesian nations to pray together for the late Ibu Ani Yudhoyono. May she be accepted and be given the best place. May she be accepted and be given the best place. And for family, may be given patience. The body of Ani Yudhoyono was buried at the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore. The body was taken to Puri Cikias Bogor, then the funeral ceremony of Ani Yudhoyono's body at the Cikias Hall is proceeded to the Kalibata Hero Cemetery in South Jakarta. The Indonesian government has asserted that there is no room for any call of referendum in any region of Indonesia, amid report that some groups in Aceh are demanding referendum of independence for the country's westernmost province. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Wiranto said that the country's laws no longer accommodated acts of referendum and therefore there was no legal basis for any party to demand such a thing. A 1983 decree issued by the People's Consultative Assembly on referendum was revoked in 1998. At the same time, Law No. 6, 1999, has also annulled Law No. 5, 1985, on referendum. Wiranto also told journalists that there is no room for any referendum in Indonesia's law, so the call for independence is no longer relevant. Wiranto went on to say that calls for a referendum were somewhat typical in regions that had seen separatist movements seeking independence in the past, such as in Aceh and Papua. Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian Ulama Council Zainud Tauhid Saadi said the demand for referendums from several regions to separate themselves from the Republic of Indonesia was a form of historical denial. The referendum can disrupt sense of nationality and diversity, which in turn will threaten the unity of the Indonesian people, Zainud told reporters in Jakarta on Saturday, June the 1st. The demand for the referendum must be rejected because it does not have a constitutional basis and is contrary to the spirit of the Pancasila and Indonesia as a unity. For this reason, they invited all parties to return to the spirit of the noble agreement of the Indonesian people who had laid the foundations of the Republic of Indonesia, namely Pancasila. That way, according to Zainul Tauhid Saadi, the Indonesian nation could survive and avoid the danger of division and remain upright until the end of time. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Six chancellors of universities in Yogyakarta called on all components of the nation to reconcile the life of the nation and state after the election 2019. The appeal was delivered at a seminar to commemorate the birthday of Pancasila, organized by the Center for Pancasila and State Studies Sunan Kalijaga in Yogyakarta on Saturday, June the 1st. The six chancellors, among others the Chancellor of UIN or UIN Sunan Kalijaga, Professor Yudian Wahyudi, the Chancellor of Gajah Mada University, Professor Panut Mulyono, and the Chancellor of Yogyakarta State University, Professor Sutrisna Wibawa. The Chancellor of UIN or UIN Sunan Kalijaga, Yudian Wahyudi, said Pancasila was a binding ijma or consensus of the Indonesian nation's agreement. For the sake of benefit, anyone cannot strike weaker consensus with strong ones. UGM Chancellor Panut Mulyono said, diversity is a blessing and national identity, thanks to the Pancasila which is identical with inclusiveness values. Yogyakarta State University Chancellor Sutrisna Wibawa said, that the reconciliation of national figures after the 2019 general election needed to be carried out immediately. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi stressed that the prosperity of the people must be a priority and focus on cooperation between the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC in the next 50 years. As President Joko Widodo's special envoy at the 14th OIC summit in Mecca on Saturday, June the 1st, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed this a priority as one of the three OIC visions in the future to become the strength of peace and prosperity. This was said by Foreign Minister Retno in a written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, June the 1st. The minister also stated that the Islamic State has tremendous potential with 70% of the world's energy controlled by the OIC and 40% of the world's natural resources also owned by the OIC states. The second vision conveyed by Indonesia is that the OIC continues to strengthen the unity among its member countries, while the third vision, Indonesia encourages the OIC to multiply support for Palestine related to the country's future, which looks increasingly worse. The last item. Several Indonesian firms have taken part in exhibitions held in Africa and utilize opportunities for continued expansion into the African market. Four Indonesian companies had participated in last month's exhibition in Johannesburg, South Africa, while Indonesia consumer product company Mayora Group has planned to expand its export market in some African countries. Its team had been actively marketing their products on the African continent for potential buyers. The main objective behind Mayora Group's keenness to expand its market in Africa is its 400 million citizens belonging to the middle class that possesses a relatively high purchasing power, which makes it one of the best markets for its products. The team began expansion in the African continent, starting from South Africa and West Africa. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Vice President Yusuf Kala conveys condolences to Ani Yudhoyono. No room for any call of referendum, the government says. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This week's spotlight is on election supervisory body prepares for constitutional court hearing. The Republic of Indonesia Election Supervisory Body, Bawaslu, stated that it was preparing itself to provide information in the trial of the election result dispute at the Constitutional Court. Chairman of the Indonesian Election Supervisory Body, Abhan, in a discussion with the media in Jakarta on Tuesday, said he would provide information based on facts. He stressed rather conveyed the facts of the supervision process that exists during the process of the election stage. Abhan said the preparation for the submission of this information was carried out with the legal division of Bawaslu. The position of the election supervisory body, said Abham, was to give statements according to the invitation from the panel judges of the Constitutional Court. Bawaslu planned to provide written information before the preliminary hearing to be held on June 14, 2019. The Constitutional Court has so far received at least 334 lawsuits from the general election result dispute. One of them is a lawsuit from the result of the 2019 presidential election submitted by Prabowo Sandiaga Camp. Previously, another Bawaslu member, Fritz Edward Siregar, said they received more than 15,000 alleged election violations consisting of reports and findings related to criminal offenses, violation of other laws or the code of ethics, administrative violations and non-violation. Somewhere in process, the highest finding data received by Bawaslu is from East Java province. That was Spotlight of the Week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with June the 2nd, 1946, the Italian Institutional Referendum. The Institutional Referendum was a referendum held in Italy on June 2, 1946, and was an important event in the history of modern Italy. Until 1946, Italy was an empire led by Savoia dynasty. However, then Italian Prime Minister Benito Mussolini imposed a system of fascism and dragged Italy into World War II along with the Nazis in Germany. This referendum was held after Italy's defeat in the war. Most voters in this referendum wanted a republican system so that the Republic of Italy was established in 1946. Turning to June the 2nd, 1964, Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO, is established. The Palestine Liberation Organization is an organization formed with an aim of liberating Palestine. This organization was known as the legitimate representative of the Palestinian people by 100 countries and received observer status by the United Nations since 1974. At the first summit in Cairo in 1964, the Arab League began the establishment of an organization representing the Palestinian people. The Palestinian National Council convened in Jerusalem on May 28, 1964, and the PLO was established on June the 2nd. I'll end with June the 2nd, 1967, death of Benno Ohsnesorg. Benno Ohsnesorg was a German student killed by a police officer on June the 2nd, 1967, during a demonstration in Berlin against the visit of Shah Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. His death brought together radical left-wing students, and the June 2nd movement was formed and used a name that originated from the date of Ohsnesorg's death.
A monument that commemorates the death of Agnes Sork was founded in Berlin and his hometown of Hanover. A bridge that crosses the Emmer River is named in honor of him. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hari terus berganti, banyak yang telah terjadi. Dirimu kian pasti, segala akan kurai. Oh, bila esok menjelang, bahagia pun kan datang. Bintang di angkasa
ku tuju, segala angan dan harapan. Tempatku padu, cita-cita dan impianku. Tempatku tuju, setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Waktu terus menguji,
waktu terus menguji
tekad yang ku miliki. Oh, oh, dan kini telah terbukti. Oh, segala kan ku gapai, rintangan ku hadapi, cobaan ku lalui. Semua telah ku dapati. Tetaplah bersinar gemilang. Tempatku tuju, segala angan dan harapan. Tempatku padu, cita-cita dan impian. Tempatku tuju, setiap langkah yang berarti tetap menyatu dalam hasrat dan tujuanku selalu. Oh,
Indonesia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia's Journey to Host Olympic 2032. The Indonesian Olympic Committee, or KOI, expects Indonesia to organize various international sporting events to support the government's bid to host the Olympics 2032. Chairman of KOI, or KOI, Erick Thohir before the officials of sports federations in Jakarta on Sunday, May 26, remarked that the achievements of Indonesian athletes have gradually improved. For example, one of Indonesian top sprinters, Lalu Muhammad Zohri, secured a ticket to participate in the 100-meter race of the forthcoming Olympics 2020, which will take place in Tokyo, Japan. Erick Thohir, who was also the former president of Italian's football club Inter Milan, pointed out that the achievements of Indonesian athletes must be acknowledged internationally so that Indonesia will be qualified to host the Olympics. Indonesia's success in organizing Asian Games 2018 denotes the country's credibility in holding international sporting events. Indonesia's commitment to hosting the Olympics 2032 was proven by Vice President Yusuf Kalla's presence at the headquarters of the International Olympic Committee IOC recently to discuss the bid of hosting Olympics 2032. The discussion about the bidding of the Olympics host had also been conducted. According to Erick Thohir, President of the IOC, Thomas Bach, when meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kalla, say that Indonesia is one of the most competitive candidates to host the Olympics 2032. In addition, Erick Thohir also hoped that the Indonesian football team will perform optimally to be qualified for the quadrennial event. In accordance to the plan, the bidding of the Olympics 2032 host will be carried out in the 2024. With maximum preparation, Erick Thohir expressed his optimism that Indonesia would be able to host the world's biggest sporting event. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports called on the managers of Jakabaring Sports City in Palembang to get ready if Indonesia is appointed to host the Olympic 2032. Secretary of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Gatot S. Dewabroto, via his press release as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Thursday, May 30th, explained that by referring to the implementation of Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang, the host of Olympics must comply with the regulation of the OIC regarding the number of sports, namely, there must be 32 sports competed at the event. Whereas, referring to Indonesia's experience as the host of the Asian Games 2018, Indonesia held 40 sports at the Asian Games 2018, including the sports from South and West Asia. Therefore, Indonesia could not add any sports if elected to hold the Olympics, since adding new sports is a violation of IOC's procedure. Listener, that's my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja.
Dulu ku sepi, kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih, kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku untuk merangkukku. Kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah,
kamu salah.
Niatku bukan begitu. Ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Inginku ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ku bilang rindu, tapi maaf sebatas saja dulu. Kini kamu
Voice of Indonesia.
RRI was service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
East Nusa Tenggara is famous for its natural beauty, but besides the beautiful nature, the area often called Coral Region also has many unique traditional cuisines that are different from other region, one of which is Tapa Kolo. Tapa Kolo is a traditional dish that has been consumed for generations. Tapa means burning, while kolo means cooking with bamboos. So Tapa Kolo means cooking food in bamboo by burning it. The food cooked in bamboo is rice. Tapa Kolo is always found during traditional ceremonies. It is not served on daily basis because the rice used is not just any rice. It must come from the Yukam community, harvest and has gone through a series of traditional rituals carried out by village elders before being processed and cooked into Tapa Kolo. To make Tapa Kolo, you need young bamboo stem, which is 30 centimeters long. The rice is wrapped in banana leaves or young palm leaves to give a different taste. The kolo roasting process takes about half an hour. The method of making it is fairly simple. Brown or white rice, after being washed, is inserted into the bamboo that has been layered with banana leaves or young palm leaves. Then added salt and some water. Sometimes for variation or variety, meat is also included. The bamboo is kept with banana leaves and roasted on burning charcoal for 30 minutes. Kolo is usually served while still warm, while side dishes such as stews and vegetables. This typical East Nusa Tenggara cuisines usually serve the main dish during the Penti traditional ceremony, which is the Thanksgiving ceremony after the harvest. People of East Nusa Tenggara expect a better life the following year after the harvest season passes. Usually, the local people cook Tapa Kolo in the big traditional house during the rice planting season. Some also cook it in the rice fields. If you are a culinary lover and want to try this Tapa Kolo, you can come to East Manggarai, Nusa Tenggara, because now you can meet this Tapa Kolo in markets with more diverse side dishes without the need to wait for traditional ceremonies. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today on Tapa Kolo, East Nusa Tenggara culinary from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, Voice of Indonesia listener. Welcome back to the Miscellany. Today's edition is about overcoming biofouling Indonesian students achieve international award. Some small animal species often stick to ship hull or buildings around seaport. They can be shells, snails, and barnacles, and the crust is hard to clean. This is called biofouling, which is very harmful. Besides damaging physical structures, it can slow down the ship since it increases ship weight and friction with water. Therefore, the ship requires more fuel to achieve normal speed. This attracted the attention of two high school students of Denpasar, Bali. I. Madewira Tatia Putramas and Caroline Matilda Ngebu developed anti-fouling paint that can prevent the animals from sticking. This paint is made of extract from two mangrove species. The two students, as quoted by Kompas after studying various sources, concluded that the two mangrove species were the most potential to prevent biofouling with their active compound. They can also be found in abundance at the coasts of Bali. After passing tests on ships, the mangrove extract apparently can slow down the organism from sticking, both microfouler like bacteria or macrofouler like sea slug. It happens because the extracts contain alkaloid, flavonoid, saponin, tannin, quinone, and triterpenoid that protect ship surface from organism accumulation. Usually, most anti-fouling paint uses tributylene or TBT. However, this substance is toxic and harmful against population of shells and other mollusks. The eco-friendly invention from mangrove leaf extract is expected to be the solution. Data said the research can present an environmentally friendly alternative to overcome the biofouling. This research method two Indonesian students achieved the award in the 4th Grand Award Intel ISEF 2019 held in Phoenix, Arizona for Earth and Environmental Life Sciences category. Their scientific work titled Potential Identification and Application of Rhizophora, Apiculate and Soneratia Alba as Bio-Antifouling Agent for Antifoulant Paints. Nevertheless, data said there are still rooms for improvements to increase the effectiveness of this formula. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Puri Safri Adela. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jalankan dua. menemukan arah tujuan. Ku layangkan harapanku, ku tentukan langkah ke depan. Dan kini telah ku tetapkan, yakin aku mengungkapkan.
Noraniku, noraniku,
tak ada yang sia-sia.
Suaraku perlahan menggantikan yang terdahulu. Terdiam menantikan badai berlalu.
Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Music Corner. Today's edition will present a religious song by Fatin. So far, Fatin Shidqia has been already quite familiar with the religious songs that she released, such as Oh Tuhan and Proud of You Muslim in 2014. She also re-sang the late Gracious song entitled Ketika Tangan dan Kaki Berkata in 2017. Welcoming Ramadan 2019, Fatin re-released a religious-themed work entitled Bersyukurlah. The song was created by Aldi Nada Permana, a composer or music arranger in Indonesia. In the process of creating this song, Fatin sent a message to Aldi to make a minimalist song that can be connected with many people. According to her, as human beings, we often only focus on the big things. So, we forget the little ones around us, which makes us forget being grateful. The collaboration between Fatin and Aldi produced an interesting song. Cheerful rhythms, touches of Arabic music, and simple lyrics as a reminder are combined all together. This means that we can be grateful for all the blessings given by Allah, including good luck, age, talent, and peace of mind. This lyric is in line with Quran Surah Ibrahim verse 7, which reads, "Indeed, if you are grateful, surely I will add favor to you." Well, listener, here is Bersyukurlah, sung by Fatin. Enjoy the song.
Damainya hati, syukuri dengan berzikir. Panjang usia, syukuri dengan ibadah. Punya talenta, syukuri dengan berkarya. Bersyukurlah atas nikmatnya, juga rahmatnya yang tak terhingga. Bersyukurlah atas cintanya,
Of Indonesia.
Satu-satunya yang mewarnai hidupku, takkan ku buat kau bersedih. Senyummu hanya untukku, kan ku selami samudra untuk dapatkan senyummu.
Senyummu yang indah kasih, dan
Voice of Indonesia.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Gimana caranya menghindarimu? Menjauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mungkin engkau
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.